Okay, welcome back into the Saturday show. I'm Michelle Bodkin. Of course, I'm with Jake Hatch, and we have a very special guest coming on now. I know him from my Salt Lake Stallions days, but I think listeners might know him a little bit better from his days at Miami with Dennis Erickson. Please welcome in Lamar Thomas.
Good morning. Good morning. How you doing?
I am doing so well. It's been a minute.
Oh, it's been an hour. Maybe two.
Well,
how you doing?
I am doing so well. Yeah, no, I appreciate you taking some time out to come chat with us. Let's get this rolling. First of all, you know, it was crazy after everything shut down with the Stallions. I watched the 30 for 30 on the U, and I was like, mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, I know that guy. I've just spent like 6 months with these people, you know. What was it like back in the day with Dennis Erickson playing for those Miami teams?
It was, let's see, what's the best way to describe it? A lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. Coach Erickson is the ultimate player's coach. And we won a lot of games. We worked hard now. I wish that was the one thing the 30 for 30 would have told more of how hard we worked. And it made Saturdays a lot easier. But Dennis, what a great man, great mentor. I mean, his door was always open. Anything, you weren't afraid to approach him. And, you know, I had the difference between Jimmy Johnson, who recruited me, and Dennis, who came in and carried the torch. And then I got to coach with Jimmy again. He coached me at the Miami Dolphins, and then I got to do it again with Dennis as far as being a coach on his staff. Two different people, two different styles, but it was a lot of fun there at the University of Miami. You know, it's always great when you're winning games. I think we lost maybe four or five games my whole college career. Never lost a game at home. I think we won two national championships. It was just a great time to be in South Florida.
Speaking of one of those losses, I remember so specifically sitting around and you told me this story about coming to Provo and losing to BYU in Provo and that you still had PTSD about that.
Oh, man. You know, that BYU game, mixed memories, mixed feelings, emotions. You know, we lost that game. It was the opening game of the season. We were number one in the country. We didn't take them lightly. But they had a better game plan. They executed better. We turned the ball over too much. It actually was my first real big appearance. I think maybe I had 10 or 11 catches. I just remember being out there. We couldn't breathe. I also was thinking, you know, the Mormons, I'd heard about Mormon people being religion, but some of the stuff that was coming out of their mouths during that game was incredible. And I also remember it being guys lining up across from me that looked like they had families. So they were a little older, a little more seasoned, as we might say. But it was a great experience. They had a better game plan. And Ty Detmer, I think that night, won the Heisman Trophy because there was nothing he could do wrong that day. I mean, he even left the field with a bloodied chin. Mm-hmm. It was a great game for BYU. I know out there they still talk about it, and it was a big game in their history of their program.
Now, Lamar, just a little background. Michelle obviously covers Utah heavily for our radio station and our website. I do a lot of BYU coverage on the other side, so we're kind of on both sides of this rivalry. And I can tell you, my parents were in the stands that night watching that game. And my dad is a huge college football fan just in general.
Right.
And he said, I've never gone into a game expecting one outcome and getting something completely different. What do you mean by that? He expected Miami to come into Provo, and this is the number one team in the country. I just won the national championship the year before, if I'm not mistaken. He's like, we were expecting, and then he said, you mentioned Ty Detmer's out there looking like Pee Wee Herman out there running around, and he's just carving Miami up, and it leads BYU to that victory. And it's one of those all-time memories. You said it's still talked about here. I'm sure it's still talked about in circles with Miami, and it's one of those all-time great games that'll never be forgotten.
No, we don't talk about that game.
Okay, fair enough.
No. It is forgotten over here.
Yeah, and so Lamar, I also wanted to ask you, with regards to your time at Miami, there have been so many storylines in this day and age of college football, and I remember watching the U, that 30 for 30, and Howard Schnellenberger talking about the fact they wanted to draw that line across South Florida, and there was nobody leaving South Florida. They're all going to go to Miami, and to Jimmy Johnson's credit, to Dennis Erickson's credit, all those coaches, they did a really good job keeping that talent home there at Miami. How different is it in this day and age now? Because it feels like there are a ton of guys from South Florida that end up all over the country, but it's the same thing across the entire United States.
Oh, it's very different now. You can't keep them all. You know, you can't keep them all. You just try to see if you can get the best ones. I mean, but they, over the years, other programs have been able to come in and get guys that are good players, and they develop into even greater players. I mean, I know being out there in Utah, there was Zach Moss, Huntley. I mean, those kids I recruited when I was at Louisville. Speaking of Louisville, I recruited Lamar Jackson, who was from South Florida, who went to Louisville. Yeah. I mean, it's just so many guys. You can't capture it like you used to. And now with the day of social media, you know, back then we didn't have the internet, so we didn't know what Utah had to offer or BYU had to offer. You know, it was just off of what maybe we had seen on TV or maybe even read in an encyclopedia. But now you can do these virtual tours and all this other stuff. And plus, now also there's money involved. There are trucks involved. There are all kind of things involved that only the privilege got to give out back then. But now everybody's involved in it. I mean, it's hard. Being down, I'm down here now, and I've watched mine and my classmate Mario Cristobal do his recruiting out here, and guys are going here and guys are coming there, and you know it's like crisscrossing. It's incredible to watch. I mean, college football has developed into something that I got to be honest with you, I don't like. I mean, it's crazy. It's like the Wild Wild West. Who, you know, Miami now has this money from COVID, from the hospitals that they spend. I mean, this quarterback that we have coming in, I think he might have got a lot, I want to say a couple M's behind his name to come here to the University of Miami, but that's not what college football should be about. It should be going to the place where you can, first of all, get the best education. Secondly, you know, what's best for you as a person individually, the program, and what you can get out of it as far as, you know, social aspects, you know, education-wise. I mean, where you can live after you graduate. That's why I chose, one of the reasons why I chose Miami, because I was like, hey, when I'm done playing football, and I wasn't thinking pros at the time. I was just thinking, hell, go there and catch a couple passes and you know, I'll graduate, and hell, I'd like to live in South Florida, you know. I definitely wouldn't like to live in Tuscaloosa. You know what I mean? So it's just these kids nowadays, it's a different game. You know, how can you yell at a kid? You know, being in coaching, I always look at it like, how can you yell at the kid? Say, hey, get your behind over here. You missing workouts. Get over here right now. And the kids are like, coach, I can't come. I got my Tesla's not charged up. You know, it's all kind of different going on, man. So It's crazy. This whole college football setting is just nuts now. And it's almost like when I've had the privilege of being able to still do some broadcasting. And when I make out my charts, it's like, you got to say this kid is a transfer from here. This kid transferred. I mean, behind every kid, there's like two or three places he might have transferred from. And I'm like, well, at the end of the day, the whole thing is getting a great education, but I guess it's about how much money you can get paid and how much playing time you can get nowadays.
So I have to ask, because you were actually a late addition for us. We had a wide receiver coach. He left. He got another bigger job.
Yes.
Dennis is calling you up and saying, hey, come join me in Salt Lake. What is going through your mind?
Well, first of all, I had called him earlier when I knew he got the job, and he said he'd already promised it to somebody else. And I was a little upset about that. I said, dang, coach, you know I'm your guy. Yeah, you're like a son to me. And then he called me back a couple weeks later and said, hey, come on. I said, are you freaking kidding me, coach? I'm on the plane now. Let's go, baby. And I didn't know what the hell I was getting myself into coming out to Utah. Thanks to Michelle. She was like my tour guide out there. It was a very interesting place. I tell you what, it's very clean out there. Very clean. Very clean. And Michelle, you also helped me to the whole game of gymnastics. Now, since I have these daughters, matter of fact, I just left a gymnastics because my two girls participate in gymnastics. Got first place, by the way. Congratulations to Parker and Logan. But I remember that first meet, that first game we had, I asked you, I said, why aren't the stands packed? And you said, because there's a gymnastics meet tonight. I said, what? Is gymnastics that big? You looked at me like, are you kidding me? I didn't know it was that big. And thanks to Michelle, I'm telling you, she was like a tour guide for us, telling us all about Utah. And I didn't even know it was that big until Michelle told me.
Now, Lamar, you obviously have spent time coaching in the college ranks. You most recently have spent time with Salt Lake Stallions. I believe last year with the Orlando Guardians in the XFL. What's next in your journey? Are you still hoping to get back into the coaching realm? What's next for you?
You know, it's almost one of those things where I'm kind of just sitting back going, you know, for years I've raised other people's kids.
Uh-huh.
That's what coaching is. You're raising other people's kids, basically. I have my own little kids now. I mean, I'm 53 years old, and I have four younger kids. I have older kids, but I have younger kids, an 8-year-old, a 6-year-old, and 5-6-year-old, and a 2-year-old. So I'm not in a rush to spend the hours away from my family. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's one of those things where, you know, you do so much trying to raise other people's kids, and some of them come in with a lot of deficiency in life. You know, they don't have father figures, or sometimes, you know, a lot of things going on in their lives. And so I just took a look at myself and said, I don't want to be one of those coaches who kids grow up without their father. So I'm trying to figure out what's the best avenue. I'm not really in a rush. I enjoyed coaching in the XFL because it was like 4 or 5 months, mm-hmm. and then I got to come back home, and it was in Florida. So maybe I'll look for something down here, maybe not, who knows. I mean, maybe I'll continue in broadcasting, who knows. But, you know, I enjoy being a father to my younger kids and having girls, the 3 girls I have and the younger son. It is a 24/7 job, and I think that's what life should be about.
Talk about we had a lot of adventures in the short time that we were all together. Talk about what were some of your favorite memories from being here in Salt Lake, either running around with me or whoever in Salt Lake?
Well, I tell you this, you know, driving to practice every day, I got to learn a lot about it from you, looking at the mountains. And I was, you know, I'm very terrified of mountain lions and all those things that could be out there to get you. And you made me feel at ease by telling me that, you know, no, don't, that's not going to happen here. And, you know, I enjoyed seeing the snow, the mountains. I even went up to Sundance.
Mm-hmm.
I went up there, and you know, they asked me if I wanted to ski, and I said no. I'll just sit at the bar and watch other people go to the hospital. I enjoyed the camaraderie of the coaching staff we had there. I enjoyed being around Coach Erickson. He's like a father to me. And to fulfill that dream of this guy who coached me at a younger age, and now I get to coach alongside him, I thought that was just an awesome thing. An awesome story to be able to tell all the guys that played for him, that he's still the same guy. He is still the same guy. He's just a great man. It was just a lot of great. I wish they would have kept the Stallions. I thought it was a great thing out there in Utah. Utah is a beautiful place. You know, that's coming from a Floridian, a true Floridian, by the way.
Yeah.
You know, I just thought it was a great place. I didn't think that when I left after the BYU game, but it changed my heart getting to be out there for a couple months. And well, it's a great place and a lot of great people, a lot of good, really good people out there.
Lamar Thomas joining us. And as you mentioned, he's a true Floridian. Were you born in, like, Ocala, if I'm not mistaken, or something like that?
Yes.
Yeah, so you...
I was born in Ocala.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
And then you went to high school there, went to Miami, and then obviously drafted by the Miami Dolphins, right?
Back up.
Okay.
I moved to Gainesville to go to,
got
I went
it.
To high school in Gainesville, where the University of Florida is.
Uh-huh.
Ocala is the horse capital of the world. I said that when I had my first interview with the University of Kentucky on a radio show, and all of a sudden the phone lines blew up and people were cursing me out. No wonder I didn't stay there that long. I didn't know that Ocala, there's a sign that says horse capital of the world. I grew up looking at this sign,
uh-huh.
But Kentucky has this, Lexington has the same sign. So it's an LA, yeah, it's, and I mean, the people were cursing me out, send them back to Louisville. But, yeah, so I wanted to throw that in there. But yeah, I grew up in Gainesville, and then I went to University of Miami. And then I was fortunate enough to be drafted by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Okay.
Because we sucked. And then, of course, I played for the Miami Dolphins to finish off.
Yeah, so you say you're
true Floridian.
Yeah, you're a Florida guy through and through. I wanted to kind of get your thoughts. So with the XFL and the USFL merging here, they're going to create an eight-team league. What are your thoughts? Is spring football, because you said you would like to see the Stallions is still stuck around. Is spring football viable in your mind?
I think it is. I think what it does is give these guys an avenue, an opportunity to further their careers, to try to get more film. As we well know, what we see on Sundays is always not the best product because you can't tackle in practice. There are a lot of things you can't do. The linemen suffer. The defense suffers. A lot of things suffer in our game that we watch on Sundays because the rules have changed for safety measures. But these leagues give these guys opportunities to continue to develop and finish living out their dreams. I mean, and you're getting paid. I think it's a great thing because we need a spring league. It's just like the G League for basketball. You know, having a spring league where guys can get opportunities, scouts can look at their film and say, okay, I didn't like this guy when he came out of college, but you know, the 2 years that I watched him play in this spring league, I like him. Let's bring him into camp. That's what it's about.
So, Lamar, you kind of spoke about our road trips to practice.
Mm-hmm.
You always
mm-hmm.
rode with me when we were in Salt Lake.
Yes.
Do you remember the time that we put together that the facility that we were in looked like the Partridge Family bus?
Oh, yeah. That sticks out in my mind, too, the Partridge Family. But was that the soccer facility?
Yeah, that was
facility?
Yes. Yeah, the soccer
that was
facility.
There was the Partridge Family bus. It's amazing. I felt bad for Michelle because I'm way older than Michelle, so Michelle probably was like, she probably had to Google Partridge Family. So
I did not.
I was
we sang the theme song. Like, that became a thing once we put that together. It was great.
Right. You're right. That's right. It was so fun out there. Man, that was, you know, that, I wish that it would have at least made it a whole year.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a shame that it got cut off right in the middle of my special teams meeting.
Right?
I tell people the story all the time that I had this deal with my guys. You can't be on your phones in my meetings, right? So I'm in front of the room talking about we were about to go to Atlanta that week. And I'm seeing guys on their phone. And finally, I say, hey, guys, what's up with these phones? And they said, Coach, why are we meeting? What do you mean, why are we meeting? You're ready for Atlanta. They said, the league's over. I said, you got to be kidding me. And everybody threw up their phones and showed me their phones. I'm like, oh, but I still didn't believe it until I looked out the window and I saw the bus pulling off. And I said, oh, it's real. We're going home.
I did not know that's how that ended for you. I was sitting on the outside at my desk, which was really a folding table, in the hallway of the hotel we were living in. And all of a sudden, everybody was starting to exit out of the rooms. So I had no idea what happened in your room. That's crazy.
Yeah, that was the craziest thing ever. And it was almost like 2 days and nobody knew what to do, you know. And at least the XFL let us finish the season before they cut teams off. You know, they merged eight teams in the whole league, and then it was 8 teams left out from both leagues. Mm-hmm. So that's a lot of players,
yeah.
A lot of coaches, a lot of players. But, you know, as long as this thing survives, it's still going to be good for those players to be able to get that experience. And you go, hey, why not stay here and play in the league then go to Canada, you know? Stay here, be around your family and friends, and we have TV coverage. Even though I'm not in the league this year, I'm just saying we.
Yeah.
It's a good thing. I think it's a really good thing, and I heard that they're going to do it this year, 8 teams, and then try to expand. So it's going to get even better.
That's awesome. Well, Lamar, I want to thank you for taking some time. It's good to kind of get your perspective on things because we can – out here in Utah, we have a look at how things are. But you're a true Floridian, and it's good to hear that you enjoyed your time in Utah. And,
yeah,
me and Michelle are selfish. We'd love to see, like, the new, I guess, UFL, as they're calling it now. Would love to see another franchise here in Salt Lake at some point down the road. But we'll have to kind of wait and see how it all plays out.
As long as they don't schedule – the game on gymnastics.
Yes, that's that. They need to work. They need to realize, hey, hold on. We need to schedule some things. Yeah, no doubt. Well, Lamar, appreciate you taking the time. Best of luck in whatever's next. And really enjoy playing dad for the time being, it sounds like.
I will. And I continue to. I was just making a bagel for my daughter. And my phone was going off, and I'm like, who is this calling? I said, oh, that's right. I'm supposed to do my interview with Michelle.
Hey.
So I remember Michelle, I sat in gymnastics all morning. So
yes.
My mind was focused on, you know, being the dad that, you know, says, hey, good job, but not too overly. I don't want them to feel, you know, first place is great, but you got to keep going. You got to keep going. My one daughter's like, well, what's next, Dad? I got first place. I said, well, you got to string a couple of them in a row. Then I'll be happy.
Well, Lamar,
thank you guys so much.
Have a great day, all right?
All right. Thank you.
There you go. Lamar Thomas. That was fun. He's a fun dude.
He was a character. Like, we hung out a lot. We hung out a lot. We spent a lot of time together, which is actually kind of funny because he was a little leery of me when he first came on. So when we started the Stallions, mm-hmm. There were some of the things coming out from the Utah Jazz. There were the racism issues.
Okay,
And so he heard I was from Utah, and he's like, ugh.
Great.
Like, Dennis, who are you trying to, get me to associate with?
Sure.
And then he walked in on me. I was doing my workout because everybody was in bed, and I was listening to an Ice Cube playlist, and he's like, you like Ice Cube? I was like, I sure do.
That's awesome.
And he's like, you're not as bad as I thought you were.
Jeez.
So, friendship over Ice Cube. It's fine.
Well, there you go. Hey, do what you got to do, right?
Yeah. Well, whatever makes the friendship work, it's fine.
All right. We will come back on the other side. We'll get to some of the other topics we have not had a chance to get to quite yet on today's show. We like to call it 5 minutes of. That's coming up next right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Yeah, yeah. Get your ass up and hurry up. Ice Cube, baby. 99, baby.
Welcome back to the Saturday show. Jason pulled a good one here. Michelle mentioned she likes Ice Cube, and Jason delivers, so there you go. Hey, it's always good to have Ice Cube on the show. So welcome back. Hope you're doing well. Michelle Bodkin there, Jake Hatch here, Jason Jones behind the glass producing for us today. Hope you all are doing well on this Saturday. All right, Michelle, let's talk about some of the topics we haven't had a chance to talk about quite yet. But there was a report earlier this week from the Las Vegas Review-Journal saying that the Oakland Athletics, soon to be Las Vegas Athletics, they're looking for their interim home. Now, they're going to play in the Coliseum this year in Oakland, and then their lease is up. And the city of Oakland essentially wants nothing to do with them. They want essentially nothing to do with the city of Oakland. That's the way things stand,
it feels like,
out in the Bay Area. And they are looking at all options. And according to the Las Vegas Review-Journal, they had visited Sutter Health Field, which is the home field of the Sacramento River Cats, which are a AAA franchise. I believe they're the Giants affiliate out there in Sacramento. But then they were also going to be touring, wait for it, Salt Lake City and Smith's Ballpark.
All right.
So a lot of people are like, hold on, what's going on here? So let's see, pulling back the curtain a little bit here. The A's are building a new stadium in Las Vegas,
yep.
But it's not going to be ready until 2028. Now, you heard me say this upcoming season, 2024, is their final in the Coliseum. Mm-hmm. Well, then there's 2025, 2026, and 2027. There's three seasons that are unaccounted for where the Athletics are going to call home. They're looking at all options. Well, then Steve Starks came on with Hans and Scotty G yesterday and said that, yes, the rumors are true. We actually hosted the Oakland Athletics yesterday. So he was on Friday, talking about Thursday. They had come into town mm-hmm. to check things out. And the appeal for Salt Lake is that currently the Salt Lake Bees are building their new facility out in Daybreak.
Yep.
It's supposed to be – it was originally slated for 7,500 fans, give or take. And according to what Steve was saying yesterday, should the Athletics pick that, they would actually play there. They'd play in Daybreak because it's got the bigger facility. It's got the locker rooms, the training facility. He says it's got Major League Baseball specifications.
That's about how many fans they drew in Oakland anyway. So,
Well, that's much more than they drew in Oakland. Good point. But they said that they could expand it out potentially to as many as 10 or 15,000. They said they're working on options like that. And essentially, so what it would be is that, yes, they'd open that new ballpark. If the A's were to pick it, they'd open it in time for 2025 opening day. The A's would call Daybreak home for the three seasons while they're building their stuff in Las Vegas. And then the Salt Lake Bees would stay at Smith's ballpark for another three seasons.
Interesting.
Which, in my mind, this is like the, if I'm the A's, it seems like a no-brainer.
Yeah.
Because you can have your own ballpark. You're not having to share. Because if you go to Sutter Health out there in Sacramento, where are the Rivercats going to play? Oh, yeah, they're playing there as well.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to work around two different schedules, scheduling PCL games alongside with Major League Baseball. There was some thought that I still call it Oracle, a ballpark. Is it AT&T, whatever the Giant Stadium is out there in San Francisco.
Yeah.
There was some thought that they may share that. I don't think Major League Baseball wants to have to deal with that logistical nightmare of like, all right, we've got a series starting Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then a crossover Wednesday night to just.
Yeah, yeah.
If they can do it, and if the A's are comfortable with it, get them here to Salt Lake City, because there's one added side benefit to this. And I'll get your thought on this in just a minute. It would allow Salt Lake City, which wants a Major League Baseball franchise, Big League Utah, that consortium of decision makers is really pushing this. It's a test run.
Totally.
Why would Major League Baseball want to come in here, see how it does, which I think it would just do awesome, even if it is capped at 15,000 fans, whatever. I think it would be a great, great thing because it gives MLB a look at what Salt Lake is as a potential franchise mm-hmm. of their own, and it gives the Oakland A's, or are they call themselves the Las Vegas A's? And I don't know what they're called. Call themselves the Athletics.
I was going to say they're probably just going to
be
the Athletics for the time being.
But they get a home of their own for the three seasons while they figure out what they're doing in Vegas.
No, I think there's a lot of benefit to that, and that's something where when we did the Spring League, that went wrong.
Mm-hmm.
There just wasn't a lot of backing behind it. I think we were the last team that was kind of put together.
Sure.
So, you know, why not bring in an already established franchise?
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, this is not their permanent home, but they have a name brand.
Mm-hmm.
They already exist. They already have the fan base. And just see how they do in the area. And then if it goes great once they move along, then create your own team to then implant in this city and have it be theirs. But I think that's just awesome. I think that's so cool. I'm a little disappointed that they're talking about going out to Daybreak because there's not a chance I will ever catch a game. But
I'll admit, I'm totally okay if the A's want to go to Daybreak.
Well, it's closer for you.
For me, Michelle, I'm on the west side of Salt Lake, of Utah Valley.
Yeah.
I'm on Redwood Road, and I drive over the hill. There's Mountain View Corridor. I zip on out, and I could be there in 15 minutes. So for me,
it's convenient.
It's great. And you know what? There's a lot of people who were beyond upset when the Bees announced they were going to Daybreak.
Mm-hmm.
And I can understand. I understand why. I get it. Like, there's an established
place.
You go 13th South. It's a great venue. The old Dirks Field was rebranded. Now it's Smith's Ballpark. It's been a great, great venue.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not up to Major League Baseball specifications.
Right.
So in many ways, it makes a lot of sense to keep the Bees there. And then, as you mentioned, if it works out, which I believe it would do great here.
I think it'll do well.
And then they have that 100-acre piece of land, the Power District, as they're calling it, right out there on I-80. That's the big push at that point. Then, okay, if they do well with the A's, then Major League Baseball sees it, and then they can announce, hey, we're Salt Lake City's one of our expansion franchises. They break ground there at the Power District, and maybe by the time the A's are heading to Vegas, you're well on your way to getting the Salt Lake whatever they're going to be called established, or the Utah whatever they're going to be called.
Yeah, yeah.
It seems, I don't know, I'm one guy who's from Utah who wants to see Major League Baseball here. It makes way too much sense to me. And the timeline for it's got to happen. And Jason over there, yeah, Jason's all in on this
Jason's
too.
Jason's all in.
But it's got to happen on a pretty quick timeline as well. Mm-hmm. Because the Major League Baseball schedule for 2025 comes out typically in July. They got 6 months to figure this out. And Steve Starks said, we will be ready for opening day 2025 if that's what they opt to do. And they've already said that the Bees were going to play there in 2025. So they've got to be ready by early spring. The timeline seems to work out where it's a very, very, I think, advantageous proposal for all parties involved with this.
Yeah, it's so cool. And it feels like it just kind of came out of left field.
In some ways,
to use a baseball term, you know.
Well, it did, because all of a sudden the Las Vegas Review-Journal's like, they're obviously tracking the A's because they're going to Las Vegas. And they're like, oh, yeah, by the way, they're touring this facility in Sacramento. Oh, no, they're going to Salt Lake City. And everyone,
Salt Lake, like, wait, huh? What?
But it makes too much sense.
It does. It makes a lot of sense. The only thing that little is the weather.
Sure.
But I mean, outside of that, I just think baseball is such a family friendly sport, and we love doing family friendly things here. Yeah.
Well, Jason's wearing a Boston hat, and if Boston can do the thing with an outdoor venue Fenway, Salt Lake can deal with the weather issues we'd have here as well.
Yeah, I'm going to have to work some extra shifts so I can go to some games, no doubt.
You and me both.
Yeah.
Because trust me, I will be making the trip out to the daybreak
many
often.
Times, yes.
It's just, if I get the Seattle Mariners here, because that's my team.
That's your team.
If Salt Lake were to get a Major League Baseball franchise, sorry, Seattle, but I'm jumping ship.
Been nice knowing you, but...
Well, I've had some certain media members here locally have told me I should forsake that franchise many, many times over.
Well...
They happened to work in Seattle before this. I think if you do some deductive reasoning, you can figure out who they told me that.
But. Yeah, but you can't abandon your team, man. It's your team that you grew up with,
come on,
you know?
If I get a hometown team here in Salt Lake...
Well, that's true, but, I mean, you grew up with them. It's really hard to abandon that.
Not with the Mariners. Okay.
Fair enough.
But anyways, I think it'd be really cool. We'll see what happens. There still needs to be decisions made, obviously, but it seems, in my mind, to be like, and it's almost like a no-brainer. Like, you get it. It'd be a brand new facility for the A's to call home for 3 years. It's a test run for the Salt Lake market with Major League Baseball. And, oh, by the way, it brings extra money into the state of Utah and Salt Lake City in general.
For a couple of years, yeah. No, I love it. And, again, I think we've talked about, with the possibility of bringing in an NHL team, the possibility of doing an MLB team. It just opens up the job market a lot more for this industry as well. And there's a lot of, I think, up-and-coming talent that just doesn't really have a place to go. And so from that standpoint, I think, bringing in something like that would be huge.
Do you want to hear my timeline of how I think things work out?
Yeah, let's hear it.
So I think in the next, because they're going to have to make that decision on the A's pretty quick. So I think that happens in the next 2 to 3 months. They're just going to have to, you got to buckle down and figure out what you're doing there. Now, we've heard that the Olympics, the Salt Lake is the preferred host for the 2034 games. And that's what the IOC is using. They're going to officially vote on that later this year, if I'm not mistaken, to make that official. I'm expecting, and I'm not reporting this. I'm going to be very clear about this. This is just in Jake's mind how it works out, that sometime after that official announcement of the 2034 Olympic Games happens, like the city of Salt Lake City, remember the whole Juan Antonio Samaras thing? That happens again with the official announcement. Shortly thereafter, I think there's going to be an announcement that prison land down there in Draper, there's going to be a multi-purpose venue built with the idea of it being hockey specifically built for hockey, and for the Olympics to have the hockey events there. And then, oh, by the way, Gary Bettman's in town saying, please welcome Salt Lake City with a brand new franchise for the National Hockey League. That's and this is not happening in like months. I'm talking about this is probably over a couple of years here. But that's the timeline I think things happening, because you have the A's make that announcement, which would, I think, signal to other pro leagues like, okay, Salt Lake's doing some things here. Then you get that venue announced. Then NHL's like, yeah, we're in on that as well. And then we're off and rolling.
Love it.
Because to your point, it opens up a lot of sports media opportunities here locally. Because, yes, I talked to a number of younger sports professionals. And I consider myself still very young, even though I'm in my mid-30s.
Yeah.
But I talked to them, and they're like, well, what are my prospects? And I'm like, well, that's the big question. Where can you find a foothold? Getting more teams, MLB, NHL, that opens that whole door. It opens up new opportunities, and it keeps some of that homegrown talent as you talk about can keep them here.
Yeah. You know, and we're talking opportunities from like internships all the way up to obviously like full-time, decent paying
PR,
gigs.
Actual like being the broadcasters, writing about the team. Mm-hmm. It opens a whole avenue. That's just the sports media realm. By the way, people need to run those venues. There are grounds crews. There, like, there's. It's Jason's over. Sign me up.
I'm in.
I've told my wife at times if I were to go back and do college all over again, I'd actually study landscape management. I'd go and like do specifically for like ball fields.
Yeah,
it's fascinating to me. Like grass. Like I don't know. That sounds weird, but like the science that goes into playing surfaces.
Oh, I'm sure it's insane.
It's nuts.
I'm sure it's insane. It's not like Joe Blow Schmo trying to keep his lawn green in the front yard.
No.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if any of you, if you've been on an actual ball field, like you can go over to the Salt Lake Bees facility, and like when they have those fireworks games, they'll let you go on the field sometimes for it. That grass is immaculate.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, it's cut like
perfect.
It's awesome.
And it's like thin, yes, and it's soft, and yeah.
It's great. It's the same thing with Real Salt Lake over there at America First Field. It's so, yeah. In a different world, Jake is on a grounds crew somewhere cutting that grass with that little hand cutter.
With
making
his little,
sure it's perfect.
Little hand tweezers.
Making sure it's, oh, that's a half inch out of, nope. Anyways. But
dork.
I am a dork. My wife tells me all the time. I'm lucky enough that my dorkdom, I guess as I call it, pays the bills these days.
Why not?
That's the name of the game. All right. I'm going to talk about some other things. Let's talk college hoops next. I want to get some of your thoughts on the Utes. We'll get to that next as we wrap up this edition of the Saturday Show right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Welcome back to the Saturday Show here on 97.5 BKSL Sports Zone. Jason's been hitting the hits today. It's been great. East Coast versus West Coast, rap battle back and forth. It's been pretty fun. But Michelle Bodkin, Jay Catch, wrapping things up on this edition of the Saturday Show. And Michelle, before we go, I want to talk a little bit about college basketball. Utah women last night, big win.
Mm-hmm.
Frankly, they just stomped USC, which was really, really impressive.
Yeah, they were so impressive. I really just out the gate, they had an edge, a chip to them that, quite frankly, has been missing. Even when they still had Gianna Neepkins in the lineup, even when they still had Izzy Palmer, which Izzy Palmer made her return.
She's back, yeah.
And looked overall pretty good. A little rusty, but to be expected. And I think she's going to be a huge boost to what they do down the stretch. But they just... It's like they were good, but like they weren't as chippy as they had been the previous year.
Mm-hmm.
Even though a good portion of that team returned.
Yes.
And then you kind of make it worse with the injuries and having to bring in people that weren't kind of a part of that. And so they're working on getting their feet wet, getting themselves under... wrapped around what the role is. And it feels like the three games prior to that, so that would have been Arizona, Stanford, and Cal. And obviously Arizona and Stanford were losses. But it felt like you were kind of starting to see like light bulb moments.
Sure.
Things were clicking. Yeah. And then it felt like it all just really, really came together again in that game last night.
We'll see if they can roll it forward here, because they got UCLA coming in on Monday, which is another big test.
Yep.
Like, it's similar in the Pac-12 women's sphere. It's similar to the men's Big 12 sphere.
Like, it's just everybody's good.
Yeah.
Everybody's good. You don't get a break.
You said, what time is that Monday? Is it 5?
5 p.m.
Interesting. So get up to the Huntsman Center. Also, you can do that tomorrow as well, mm-hmm. the Utah men. Now, Oregon State is awful.
Oregon State's not good.
But Oregon, coming off their first loss of Pac-12 play, is going to be a little more, you know, PO'd when it comes to going against Utah. They're going to want to get some payback. But that one's at 1 o'clock tomorrow at the Huntsman Center. Mm-hmm. Should be an interesting game because the way that Kaba Keita played in particular against Oregon State, I was really, really impressed. That kid is just – I feel like he's just scratching the surface of what mm-hmm. he can be. Now – what's the status with Rolly Wooster and Lawson Lovering? Have you heard anything more?
Craig said afterwards in postgame they don't expect them for Sunday.
Okay.
But after that, it's fuzzy. They don't know. Okay. So it's kind of another. It sounds like Utah football all over again. these guys are injured. We know they'll be back at some point. When they're back, I don't know.
Uno Doctor.
It might be. I don't know. We should maybe ask Craig. Is it Uno Doctor?
Yeah.
But you know, I thought they handled that situation really well, and it could have totally gone sideways for him. Easily could have gone sideways for him. But I thought they came together really well. I think Davon Smith has been a big boost to what they've been doing. He and Kaba usually capture my attention just because of the things that they can do. And then, of course, you have Brandon Carlson that can pop off at any moment. And, like, it's nice seeing that they don't have to rely on him so heavily, that there are others now on
Correct.
That roster that can kind of pick up some slack. It's just I think those three are working really well together, and they're getting things done. Now, they got to figure out how to get a win or two on the road.
Yes.
But at home, they've been very, very good.
Well, and that's a similar circumstance for BYU, because BYU, they get the big win over Iowa State Tuesday. This afternoon, they play at Texas Tech, who's 25th. And then, oh, by the way, there's this team called Houston, who's like top three in the country, comes to Provo on Tuesday. Michelle, this is the first time since 1981 that BYU has played three straight ranked opponents.
Woof.
81 was Danny Ainge's heyday at BYU.
Woof.
It's been a minute since BYU's played this level of competition, but you do have to learn how to pick up road wins.
Mm-hmm.
BYU got a big one against UCF. It was ugly down the stretch against UCF last week.
Win's a win.
A win is a win. You got to take them any way you can get them in conference play. Utah State learned that lesson in New Mexico on was that Wednesday night? No, it was Tuesday night as well. It was late night. They lose in the pit to the Lobos. That snapped a 15-game winning streak for Utah State. We got some good local hoops going on here, so it's going to be interesting. You got to see if Utah can handle Oregon tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
You got to see if BYU can go to Texas Tech today. It's a 4 o'clock tip on ESPN2. Looking forward to that. And then it's coming up at 1:30. It'll be pregame for Utah State. They're taking on Fresno State. That should be a relative layup because Fresno's not that great. I've watched them play against BYU, and just by the way, BYU was just kind of toying with them the entire game. It wasn't close.
Yeah.
So it should be a pretty easy win there. So big weekend ahead, but those road wins, you got to learn how to get them. And any you get, so big. Like, you just, it sets you up because conference play, these teams have you scouted really, really well. Utah, they know that teams have got them scouted. And we had Craig Smith on with DJ and PK Wednesday morning,
mm-hmm.
and he talked a lot about Davon Smith. He thinks that Davon Smith is kind of like their ace in a hole. And what he means by this, to your point, he didn't play a lot in the non-conference because of the whole situation with the transfer and everything.
Yep.
So teams have got Brandon Carlson scouted. They got Kaba Keita on film. They've got an idea of what those guys can do. Davon Smith in some ways is still a mystery in terms of figuring out what his whole thing is. And Craig Smith even said it himself. We're still learning what he can do.
Yeah. he's incredible. And it's been a while since Utah's had like kind of a smaller speedster like that. Thinking about like a Justin Bibbins Brandon Taylor.
I didn't even thought of Justin Bibbins.
Back in the day. He's a little bit bigger than both of those guys. And I think he's actually more athletic than both of them too. But like, he just plays so fast and will come out of nowhere and make something happen. And I mean, he was a little tentative at first, which again, makes sense. You haven't played for a while. Getting the feel for how the team works and the dynamic works. But he's been thrust into that starting spot now with Rolly Wooster out. And, I mean, he's been lights out. He's been so good.
Yeah. It'll be interesting. It's going to be a fun weekend. And, obviously, we'll track your work at KSLSports.com. And We'll keep our eye on all of it. That's the fun part about this. We'll be back next week here on the Saturday show, and also keep it locked right here on The Zone all week long. Starting Monday morning, DJ and Pete will have you covered live programming throughout the day. And obviously, a lot going on. Jazz, college hoops, NFL. We got it all for you guys. And maybe baseball at some point. Maybe
That might be on the docket.
Let's make it happen. I want that so badly. It'd be great. All right. So for Jason and Michelle, have a great rest of your Saturday, everybody. This has been the Saturday Show right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.